If you have your Bibles with you, open up to Isaiah 33. We'll be reading from there shortly. You know, these times can be pretty scary with the things that we're facing. The COVID, all the different things that we keep hearing, seeing the violent protests, the riots, the looting. It just seems like it's pretty crazy. And sometimes that can get us down. It can be depressing to all of us. So I'd like to go back to the days of Isaiah. During the time of Isaiah, the kingdom of Judah was facing perilous times. Assyria was advancing from the north, conquering kingdom after kingdom. Even the northern kingdom of Israel was taken into captivity. We also see that as Assyria drew near to Jerusalem, the people were undecided as where to turn. They didn't know what to do, where to go. Some advocated to give themselves up to the Assyrians. Others looked to the south, believing that an alliance with Egypt would save them. But Isaiah was sent by God to say, "Hey, look, you need to put your faith in me. Why are you putting your faith in men?" God told him that the key to their salvation was to trust in the Lord, not men. The Lord would provide the stability they needed when all seemed lost. In Isaiah 33, verses beginning at verse 5, we find an exhortation to put their trust in the Lord. From the American Standard Version, it says, "Jehovah is exalted, for he dwelleth on high. He hath filled Zion with justice and righteousness. And there shall be stability in thy times, abundance of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge of the fear of Jehovah is thy treasure." In the New King James, that stability is written, the stability of your times. It is the wisdom and knowledge of the Lord spoken here. In other translations, as the New American Standard says, the same thing, stability of your times. But the New International Version says, "He shall be the sure foundation of your times." And even though we're removed from the days of Isaiah by thousands of years, do we not hear, do we not see the counsel that Isaiah is given to the Israelites here? It rings true for us today that if we put our faith, we seek the Lord, we seek His wisdom, we seek His knowledge, that He too can be the stability of our times in this time that we're living now. Even though we're removed, He can be the stability of our times. To illustrate this is even true today, well, let's begin by noticing some unstable conditions of our times and the effect that this instability can have on people. The stability of your times and the unstable conditions of today, we need to think about that. Many are common in every age. We face many disturbing things. Job wrote in Job 14 and verse 1, "Man is born of woman, is a few days and full of trouble." So we think about that. Sickness, death, and natural disasters. They had those back during the days of Isaiah. We have those today too. We think about sickness or disease. What are we facing today with this COVID? Each and every day we hear more and more news about it. Some say it's getting worse. Others say it's not as bad as you think it is. But we do know it's real. Some say, or some may be peculiar to our day if we think about that. Threat of nuclear holocaust. We have that today. They didn't necessarily have that back then. Environmental pollution, inflation, recession, unemployment, AIDS, cancer, heart disease, road rage, drive-by shooting. As I mentioned before, violent protests, looting, just violence and riots, different things. So the effect of these things can have, for some, it can be produced anxiety, maybe fear, and others, they can become depressed. Our age has been called the age of anxiety, the age of neurosis, as some say. And every Christian is affected. They may murmur or complain. It's not like we haven't heard about that. Did not the Israelites in the wilderness murmur about the manna that God had given them? They murmured and complained. So that doesn't mean that we're exempt from that today. We face different things. We see the world as it is. It causes us maybe to lose a little bit of faith in God. We begin to murmur. We begin to complain about the way things are. Why do I have to wear this mask? Why does everybody else have to wear it? Why can't we go eat at a restaurant? We begin to murmur and complain about those things. Others react with depression. Every Christian can be affected. They simply exist in a state of unhappiness. Is it wrong for Christians to feel sad once in a while, to be unhappy, but to be continually unhappy? What does that say about where God is in your life? You should be happy. You should be joyous. That the fact that despite the things that we're facing, God is on our side. Yet some are not disturbed by such things, even though they experience the same things which devastate others. I know of, we know different Christian brothers and sisters in Christ that we know that sometimes these things we kind of look at ourselves because we're feeling it. Maybe we're feeling the anxiety, but we look at somebody else. That person does not ever seem to be bothered by anything. Well, that can happen with Christians too. Even though they experience the same thing that devastate others, the same financial crisis, diseases, and uncertainties, they don't seem to be bothered by those things. Maybe it's because they seek God. They seek His wisdom. They seek His knowledge. They have faith that He will be the stability in their lives. So why do we have this different reaction? If we think about this, why is it? Is there some source of strength that some have found that others have not? I believe there is. I believe it's called the Lord, who provides the stability for our troubled times. From Isaiah 33 and verse 6, we learn how the Lord provides this stability. It is provided by the Lord. We know that. But it comes through wisdom and knowledge. Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times, the New King James Version says. Such wisdom and knowledge can help us face life. How can it help us face life? Well, by guiding and protecting one from the pitfalls of life. If you got your Bibles open, can you turn to Proverbs chapter 2? Proverbs chapter 2, beginning at verse 6. It's a little lengthy reading. I'll be reading through the end of the chapter. Verse 22. The proverb writer writes this, and I think these words are very pertinent to us today, and I hope that as we read them, we think seriously on what he says here. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice. And he preserves the way of his godly ones. Then you will discern righteousness and justice and equity and every good course. For wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will guard you. Understanding will watch over you to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who delight in doing evil and rejoice in the perversity of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways, to deliver you from the strange woman, from the adulteress who flatters with her words, that leaves the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death, and her tracks lead to the dead. None who go to her return again, nor do they reach the paths of life. So you will walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright will live in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be uprooted from it. Does that not give you a warm, comfortable feeling that knowing that if we seek God, He is on our side? It'll be the knowledge of the God will be pleasant to your soul, knowing Him, knowing that we will not remain here, but the wicked will. And we think about all the wickedness around us. What do we have that they don't have? We have God. We have God providing the stability of our times for us. We read also in the next chapter over Proverbs 3. Look at verse 21. He says, "My son, let them not vanish from your sight. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and adornment for your neck. Then you will walk in your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you won't be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden fear, nor of the onslaught of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught." To me, brethren, that gives me comfort and strength to know that despite what's going on, we'll be all right. No matter what, we will be all right. If you're right with God, we will be okay. God is willing to provide wisdom to those who look for Him. If you look, turn to the New Testament writer James. James chapter 1, beginning around verse 5. He says, "But if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing doubting, for he that doubteth is like a surge by the sea, driven by the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord, a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." Isn't that wonderful to think that God is willing to provide wisdom to us? But there's a catch. But we have to look for Him. We have to look to Him for this. As James says, if we lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives it all liberally. We need to come to God. We need to ask in faith, not doubting. Let not a man think that he shall receive anything just because he thinks that's what God is. God's just going to take care of us no matter what. We need to reach out to God. We need to seek Him. We also see that the stability provided by the Lord comes through salvation. The strength of salvation is what the New King James says. In verse 6 of Isaiah 33, the New American Standard says abundance of salvation, or it might be the American Standard that says that, abundance of salvation. Think about that, abundance of salvation, strength of salvation. The salvation of the Lord can help us face death. If we know the Lord will save us in eternity, can we not better face the adverse circumstances of this life? I think we can if we have confidence. And it reminds me of that confidence that the Apostle Paul had. You think about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at verse 1. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Corinthians here, says, "For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God. A house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." And as we read these things in 2 Corinthians, be mindful of the fact of the things that we understand and we know from our study in Acts and different books that Paul wrote, the sufferings and the persecutions that he faced each and every day. But yet we read here, like we read in just in verse 1 here, if you go down a little further, look at verse 5 through 8. "Now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave to us the Spirit as a pledge. Therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord." In verse 7, "For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body to be at home with the Lord. Paul had confidence that if he was absent from his body, that he would be home with the Lord. Despite all the things that he faced, that was his hope. In 2 Corinthians, just the chapter before, in chapter 4, look at verse 16. Therefore we do not lose heart, but though the outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Think about that. Let's stop right there. Think about that. Eternal weight of glory far beyond. It's incomparable. You can't compare it to anything. That's what he's saying here. It's far beyond all comparison. What can you compare eternal life with God? What can you compare that to? I don't think we can't even come close to thinking thing. We can't even begin to think what that would be like. Verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. No, we can't see God. We can't see His Son. We can't see heaven. We know it's there. We have faith in that. And we know that it would be for eternity, as Paul wrote here in verse 18. Lastly, let's turn back to his letter to the Romans. Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 31. It just amazes me how confident Paul was in his life, despite the things that he did previously to becoming a son of God, becoming a Christian, and the things that he suffered and dealt with day after day once he was a Christian and preaching the word all over the world. In verse 31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? Do we believe that? Do we feel it? Do we practice it? Do we have it? Do people see it in our attitude? Think about those things. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all. How will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Verse 34. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation? Will distress? Will persecution? Famine? Nakedness? Peril? Sword? Protests? Riots? Looting? COVID? Think about those things. Will that separate us from God? Just as Paul says, none of these things will. The things that we face today will not either. Just as it is written in verse 36, for your sake you are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquered through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That gives me confidence, despite the things that are happening this day. Some of us, we look at our politicians now and we hear the different things of how they just seem to be evil, some of them. And the things that we face with all the disease around us and the different things going on, we'd say to ourselves, what's this world coming to? Should we worry about that? I'm not saying we don't worry about that. But should we worry about it to the point of anxiety, depression? Or should we continue to live on knowing that our God in heaven will save us in the end? We will be with Him in eternity. That's a comfort that I can't believe there's anything better than that. Yes, wisdom and knowledge and salvation found only in the Lord provides the stability we need for these times. Wisdom and knowledge providing stability in facing life, salvation, providing stability to face even death. Together they provide great wealth for us, or in the New International Version says, a rich store. These things can provide these things for us. But what is the key to this treasure? What is the key to this treasure of wisdom, knowledge, and salvation from the Lord, which is the stability of your times? In verse 6, we find the key to this stability. It is the fear of the Lord. The NIV reads, the fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. Treasure, that calls it. Think about that. Calls it treasure. Isn't it of great wealth to think that He provides stability for us in these times? He will keep us calm. He will keep us from anxiety. He will keep us well, despite the situations. And the New International Version calls it a treasure, and I think that's right. As noted elsewhere, the fear of the Lord is essential in other places. It is the beginning of knowledge, as the proverb writer wrote in chapter 1 and verse 7. The fear of Jehovah is the beginning of knowledge, but the foolish despise wisdom and instruction. In Proverbs 9 and verse 10, it is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of Jehovah is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The fear is essential to receiving salvation. It is necessary to be accepted by God. And we see that when we read of Peter in Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, Peter begins. He says, he opened his mouth and said, of truth I perceive that God is a respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is acceptable to him. Are we doing these things? We need to be acceptable to God. Peter says he's no respecter of person, but you need to be acceptable to him. You need to fear him, work righteousness. Albert Barnes said this when it says he that, in reference to he that feareth him. He writes, it means that he who honors God and keeps his law, he who is a true worshiper of God according to the light and privileges which he has, is approved by him. And I like this, what he says here. He says, as giving evidence that he is his friend. Giving evidence that he is his friend. Or do you fear him? Are you working righteousness? That's your evidence that he is your friend. The message of salvation in Acts 13 and verse 6. The brethren, children, what was given to those who already have it or who have it. Speaking of that salvation was given to Abraham, the stock of Abraham. Luke wrote in Acts 13 verse 26. Brethren, children of the stock of Abraham and those among you that fear God, to us is the word of this salvation sent forth. We see that it was sent forth to those who are the children, the stock of Abraham. But it is not that it's not given to us, it's given to all. It is necessary for spiritual growth, as we look at Philippians 2 and verse 12. Paul said, so then, my beloved, even as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and with trembling. Fear the Lord and worketh righteousness is acceptable but to Him. Paul says, with fear and trembling, work out your own salvation. Matthew Henry put it like this, He exhorts them to diligence and seriousness in the Christian course. Work out your own salvation. It is the salvation of our souls and eternal salvation that contains deliverance from all evils, from all the evil sin has brought upon us and exposed to us, and the possession of all good and whatever is necessary to our complete and final happiness. And finally, the key to this stability is why the fear of the Lord is necessary. The fear of the Lord departs from evil. Proverbs 16 and verse 6 says, a reverence for God, a reverence for God and His righteousness, righteous judgment is an effective motivation for all of us. We depart from evil, so we turn to God. In Proverbs 14 and verse 6, the writer says, in the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence, a place of refuge. So when we turn to God, the fear of the Lord becomes great blessings to us. Such wisdom, knowledge, salvation, confidence, refuge. Indeed, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. The writer writes in Proverbs 14 and verse 27. All these things that we talked about provide the stability of our times. All we have to do is be acceptable to God. And to come to Him, we have to believe that He is, and we have to fear Him, work righteousness, and be acceptable to Him, and we will be His friend. So in conclusion, the essence of this study is this. Those who lack stability in troubled times do so because they lack the wisdom, the knowledge, and, worst of all, the salvation of the Lord. They lack these things because they do not have the fear of the Lord. A proper fear of the Lord would prompt them to turn from evil and to turn to God, where they would find His knowledge, wisdom, and salvation. That's where it's at, which in turn would provide the stability of your times. With this stability, so we can rightly say, just as the writer to the Hebrews wrote in Hebrews 13 and verse 6, give me a last verse that I'll read for us today. The Hebrew writer writes this, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear Him. What can man do to me? If we think about those words, what can man do to me? The Lord is my helper. He's on my side. If He's not on your side, won't you let the Lord provide you the stability you need for these troubled times now, this morning? I hope and pray that you do. I'm not saying we never get fearful, we never consider what's going on, but we should not ever let that overtake us. Overtake us in such a way that we forget about God. We start paying attention to the news more than we do to God's Word. And then that just soaks in. And so the wisdom and the love and the salvation we have in God starts to fade away. We can't have that. So won't you let the Lord provide you with that stability this morning? And one final note is I'd like to end up with a poem from Annie Johnson Flint. It goes like this. God has not promised skies always blue, flowered strewn pathways all our lives through. God has not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain. But God has promised strength for the day, rest for the labor, light for the way. Yes, God has promised grace for the trials, help from above, unfailing sympathy, undying love. I hope that this morning that as we heard these words and listened to what the writers of Proverbs, the writers of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, listened to Peter, listened to Paul. And we can understand how Paul, being so confident that he had an eternal life with the Lord, no matter what would happen to him, that even during perilous times, as he wrote in Philippians, out of the same book that we read from, he says that I press on. That's what we need to do, brethren. Have that attitude that Paul had. That despite the things around us, and just say, I need to press on. Press on because God's with me. He's on my side. And I know that if anything does happen to me this day, I'll have that eternal home with Him. But you can't have that unless you are with God. If you haven't put God in your life, you haven't confessed your faith, we're giving you that opportunity this morning to do that. Confess your faith in His Son. Repent of your sins and be baptized for the remission of those sins. That is the beginning of working righteousness. That is the beginning of becoming acceptable to Him. We need to come to Him to be acceptable. He gives us those ways in His Word. Believe, confess, repent, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you've done those things, and maybe you need the prayers of the brethren here, or maybe you need the prayers just to get for strength during these times, we're here to help. So whatever your situation is, at this time we're going to sing the invitation song, and James will lead us. So if you're in need of anything, please come forward and let us know at this time.